Lord Wells, and I go back farther than we go back. So please be kind when you talk to these people because they think I'm a pretty good guy.
That's true. If you need any dirt on Tom, I probably have a little.
Yeah. Don't believe, well, I can't say that right before she preaches, can I? Cannot believe a word she says.
No.
Because, yeah. We've done ministry in a lot of different arenas and places. We, her and Brian and Lori and I started a coffeehouse ministry in Clay City. None of us really drank coffee, but we started a coffeehouse ministry. And then we stepped out and it has grown and expanded and God is blessing families all over Clay City with that ministry. The Rock. So please welcome my friend Laura.
See if I can get, oh, you can hear me, can't you? That means you're all going to stay awake while I talk. That's what that means. All right, well, thanks for having me this morning, and I hope that you all had a good Easter last Sunday, a good celebration. This is the most important holiday for us as Christians, right? And this is what our faith stands on. This is what we have to hope in for eternity, that we serve a risen Christ who is alive. That's exciting news for us, right? Gives us something to celebrate. But you know, it's really interesting when you go back and you read the story of the very first Easter, those guys were filled with fear before they ever were able to celebrate. Fear. It can make you do some crazy things, can it? Think some crazy thoughts. I mean, the first disciples, they were so filled with fear that on that very first Easter Sunday morning, they were hiding behind closed doors. That's how afraid they were. You know, when I start thinking about things that make me afraid or fearful, you know, one of the things that come to my mind are snakes. Anybody else with me? Afraid of snakes? Oh, Tom's afraid of snakes, guys. Okay, well, I'm afraid of snakes. Now, my husband over here, Brian, is not. And he tries to tell me that snakes are a good thing, that they eat mice and they don't really harm you unless they're being provoked. But I, on the other hand, I just take one look at those beady eyes and that slithering body. Looks like something I need to be afraid of, right? Lots of you shaking your head. Okay, well, I have a snake story for you this morning, okay? So we live out in the country, and we have an in-ground pool. And anytime you have that combination going on, you can be sure that you're going to get some critters in your pool, specifically snakes. So one night, we were home, and Brian went outside to mess with the pool, and he comes back in, and he says to me, "You're going to be really happy with me tonight, because I just got a snake out of the pool for you." He said, "Don't worry, it was just a little one, just about this big, but I got it for you." And of course, I was very happy. Yes, thank you for getting the snake out of the pool. Well, the next day, I had a little bit of free time, so I decided that I would just go lounge in the pool for a while. So I go out, I get on the raft, and I'm floating around, and you know how us ladies do. I mean, we lay there, and I'm, you know, asleep, half asleep, and floating, and pretty soon I open my eyes, and I look down, and across my arm is black. And I freak out. I roll off of that raft as fast as I can. I'm in the deep part of the pool, of course, and I look over and the ladder is over here. And so I take off swimming for the ladder and I turn around and look and that thing is coming at me on top of the water. And so I do this whole thing where I'm bobbing up and down, I'm splashing, I'm screaming, and I take off again. I'm swimming. And I turn around, and it's coming at me. It's not stopping. So I think just the adrenaline rush and being so afraid, I think in my mind, my only option is to grab hold of this thing and throw it out of the pool before it bites me, because I'm not going to have time to get up the ladder and get out before then. So I turn around as quick as I can, I grab hold of it, I throw it out, and when I do, I feel this tug on my bathing suit. And I look down and I realize it's not a snake after all. It's my bathing suit string. I almost died that day being chased by my bathing suit. True story. You know, fear can make us do some pretty crazy things, can't it? Have you ever heard of the acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real? That's really what most fears are. They're figments of our imaginations that we just get carried away with. In fact, did you know that they say that only 8% of what we worry about actually happens? 8%, that's it. And we worry about a lot of things that we're fearful for. You know, on that very first Easter weekend, the disciples had watched as Jesus was arrested, as he was beaten, as he was nailed to a cross and crucified. And that was all on Friday. By Sunday, they were hiding behind locked doors. Their imagination was going crazy. They were thinking, what if? What if? What if this happens to me next? What if they come and get me? What if I'm going to be crucified? What if I'm going to be put in prison? What if they take me from my family? What if? What if? What if? And I'm going to stop for a minute. Do you by chance have any water? I got the whole cotton mouth thing going on. I'm sorry. I need a drink. Sticking together. So just when they thought that things couldn't get any worse, here comes Mary Magdalene. And she rushes in and she says, Jesus' body is missing. They can't find it. And the guys, Peter and John, they take off running, and they want to see if what she says is really true. And it is. And they're confused. And again, they're so filled with fear. And, you know, even when Mary Magdalene comes back a second time, and she tells them that she's seen the risen Christ, they really didn't get it. They really didn't understand what was happening until they had their own personal encounter with Christ. Thank you. Excuse me. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to read to you out of John chapter 20. We're going to read verses 19 through 22. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So suddenly, out of the blue, Jesus shows up in the middle of this room. And I'm just using my imagination here, but I'm just thinking that these guys are probably screaming like a bunch of girls. I'm thinking there could be some puddles on the floor. I mean, think about it for a moment. You know, anxiety is running high. They're confused and full of fear. They've been talking about what's been going on for the last 3 days. And then suddenly this dead man is standing in the middle of the room. I mean, I think that warrants a little screaming and a little wetness, if you will. But once they were able to kind of focus in, once they were able to kind of gather themselves together and realize that this was really Jesus in their midst, that he was really alive, then their fears started to dissipate, and they started to feel that peace and that joy. That's what personal encounters with Christ does for us. It takes away our fears and it brings us joy. You know, too often we live in the land of what ifs too, just like those disciples did. You know, what if something happens to my family? What if I get sick? What if I'm not going to be able to afford anything anymore? What if there's no more groceries on the shelf? I mean, we can just, you know, pick up a newspaper or read a news article, and pretty soon you can just feel the fear coming in, can't you? I mean, we're still dealing with a pandemic. We've got a war going on. Inflation is getting out of hand. Just look at the gas prices. I mean, all of those things, when we focus on them, they can cause us to be fearful people. We can become just like those first disciples were, full of fear. We can start asking ourselves, where is Jesus? Where is he in the midst of our circumstances? Where is he in the midst of my financial problems? Where is he in the midst of my health issues? Where is Jesus? But you know what? Jesus never left us. He's always been right here. The problem isn't where is Jesus. The problem is where is our focus? Where is our focus? Because when we focus on the circumstances, it can cause us to be filled with fear. And when we focus on Jesus, that's when the fear starts to leave us. You know, there's a Christian song out that says, the title of it is Fear is a Liar. And I want to read just the chorus to you. It says, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest and steal your happiness. That's exactly what fear does. It steals our happiness. It robs us of our joy. It makes us really forget about the promises that Jesus made to us and that he is there for us. And Christ wants us to step away from our fears and to step into his peace. You know, one of the greatest things about this story is that Jesus shows up. He shows up. He shows up in the midst of their circumstances. He shows up in the midst of crisis. He shows up in the middle of their fear. He shows up. And when Jesus shows up and reveals himself to the disciples, you know, he doesn't condemn them. If they were screaming, he doesn't call them a bunch of big sissies, or at least it wasn't written in the book. He doesn't get on them about their past, that they abandoned him at the cross. He doesn't mention any of that. He comes into the room and he says, peace be with you. Peace. You know, prior to his death, Jesus had had another conversation with the disciples about peace. If you go back a couple pages into John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus was talking to his disciples. This was before his death. And this is what he says. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Jesus doesn't want us to walk in fear. He was trying to prepare his disciples ahead of time and let them know that fear might try to grab a hold of them, that he could give them peace. And, you know, I believe that Jesus does that for us now, too. He gives us his word, right? And he tells us over and over what to expect. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. It's a guarantee. We will have trouble in this world. But then he says, take heart. In other words, don't be afraid, because he has overcome the world. You know, if you read the Bible through to the end, you find out that our world's only going to get worse. But we have Jesus, and guess what? We win in the end, right? And we can have peace knowing that. Did you know that actually in the Bible that phrase "do not fear" or "do not be afraid" is used over 365 different times? That's one time for every day of the year. I mean, I think that Jesus knows that we can be fearful people, and yet he shows up and he says, "Peace, peace be with you." In Philippians, the Apostle Paul reminds us how strong God's peace is when it's at work in our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." In other words, don't fear, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what God's peace does. But what we need to recognize is that God's peace doesn't just come over us. Like, it's not some magic thing that happens. You know, we don't just sit in the pew and God's peace just comes. It's conditional. Did you hear what the Apostle Paul said about receiving peace? He said, we have to do something. So I think when we look at our story today and what Paul is saying, I think there's really two ways that we can experience God's peace in our life. The first one, I believe, is by being in the presence of God. We have to spend time in the presence of God. And that's not just at church on Sunday morning. That's every single day of the week. We have to make sure we're spending time in his presence, quality time, not just a quick prayer in the car on the way to work. We need to be spending time with him so that we know who he is, so that we can have an experience with the risen Christ. And that's when we will experience his peace. And then the Apostle Paul says that when we take our concerns to him in prayer, with thanksgiving, notice the two go together. He said, take your concerns, your requests, your petitions to God in prayer with thanksgiving. So when we go to God in prayer and take our fears to Him, admit them to Him, give them to Him, but do it with a thankful heart, He says what happens is He takes those things, and in exchange, He gives us His peace. If we will just do those two things, I believe that we will be able to experience God's peace in our life. Jesus doesn't want us walking in fear. He doesn't want us living a life of fear. He wants us to recognize that He is present in the middle of our situations, that He is here, and He wants to bring peace into your life, into your circumstances. The Apostle John reminds us again in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love. Well, there's only one person that I know of that can love us with a perfect love, and that's Jesus Christ. It's His perfect love at work in our lives that drives out our fears. You know, when the disciples had their encounter with the risen Christ, they were never the same after that. When they had their personal encounter with Christ, with the one who had conquered death, with the one who had loved them enough to die for them, for the one who just did what looked like the impossible, they were changed. They were changed forever. Their fears left. They became very bold for Christ. They were on a mission from that moment on to tell the world the gospel message, and that Jesus made a difference in their life. He indeed brought them peace. There was no more hiding behind locked doors after that moment. I don't know what fears you might be dealing with in your life, but I do know the one who can take your fears away. But we have to take that first step. We have to be willing to have personal experience with Jesus. We have to be willing to spend time in His presence, getting to know Him more. And we have to take our requests to God, our concerns, with a thankful heart. And then we too can experience that peace. We need to remember that fear is a liar. I mean, if He can make a bathing suit string look like a snake, we know He's a liar, right? That's what fear does to us. But we have Jesus, and Jesus brings us peace. I hope that you will experience His peace. If you would, pray with me. Holy God, we thank You. We thank You for what Easter means to us, this season, Lord, where we can celebrate the fact that You are alive and well. We praise You, Jesus, that You went to the cross on our behalf. And we thank You that You can bring us peace, a kind of peace that we can't experience in this world. We only experience it through You. And we thank You, Lord, that You've shown us how to experience more peace, that You've shown us how to get rid of these fears that we deal with, that it's all about where our focus is. It's about spending time in Your presence. It's about talking to You about our concerns. And so, Lord, I pray that when we begin to feel fearful, that You would just prompt us, prompt our spirits, Lord, to recognize that maybe we just need to be with You. Maybe we need to talk to You. I pray, Lord, that as we deal with all the craziness in our world right now, that, Lord, as a people who belong to you, that we would live feeling very at peace, that no matter what is going on around us, no matter what circumstances may come our way, that we will lean into you and receive that peace that surpasses all understanding. We praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.